Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian. I am here with our co-host extraordinaire, Mr. BJ.
What's up?
And we are Flame On, at least for the moment. Our colleagues, Pat and Eric, are taking a much-deserved break over this lovely Labor Day weekend, leaving the two civil servants here holding down the fort. How did that work out? I thought we had a union.
You're a little loud.
No, well, I don't know. I get a little excited. What am I going to say? So, we're here holding down the political fort. In fact, what we're about to do, if we did this during our normal work hours, we'd actually violate the Hatch Act. Did you know that, BJ? Are you familiar with the Hatch Act?
Oh, my God. I completely forgot. It's funny because at work, we have a bunch of, people that, try to talk politics. And when we start to fall into that trap, we literally say Hatch Act, point at each other, and back away slowly. So,
I mean, that's all you can do, I guess. Funny enough. So for those who don't know, I'm just tuning in for the first time. I don't know how, because it's not good for radio. You're not just stumbling upon us on your, drive somewhere. We are a gay geeky podcast. We have been doing this for, oh my God, almost 13 years coming up. I feel like it's getting close.
Wow.
I know. Which it isn't that long, but it is that long. It's crazy. But BJ and I both work for the federal government. So if we were to, let's say, do this during our office hours, wherever we're working in different agencies, and we were not just having a political discussion, it's not that. You can have a political discussion even during your work hours. You're not supposed to be advocating for a political candidate as part of your day job during your daytime stuff. So you can actually have this kind of discussion and not violate the Hatch Act. But if you're interested in Google the Hatch Act, you can read all about it. Orrin Hatch was a senator from Utah, I think, back in the day. And for whatever reason, they named this after him. I don't know the history on that. I probably should. But yeah, so we're going to talk about politics today.
I mean, we have to constantly do our year. We have to do a yearly training on our training website. We have to do that every single time.
Your training actually covers the Hatch Act? I don't think any of my training, mandatory annual training that became manual training, I don't think it covers the Hatch Act at all. We have ethics. We have all this other crap we got to study. But
we have a full-on Hatch Act training that's the Hatch Act. That we have to do yearly. It comes due in I think it popped for me in February, but yeah, that's a yearly training for us.
Well, that's there you go. Your federal tax dollars at work is what I always like to remind people when they hear about some dumb thing I have to do as part of my job. So there you go. So politics, this is September of 2024 and we are coming up perilously fast on the 2024 presidential, senatorial, House representative, congressional, local, state, all the elections are coming up. And the big one, of course, is the president and vice president. And if you're not from the U.S., you may not know that it may not be as exciting, but I feel like we make our political dramas very front and center for the world because it affects a lot of people. Out in the world. So
is exciting the word we want to use?
It is exciting in that it gets me into an excited state. Now, that is not to say a good excited state. You could equally substitute anxious, paralyzed, terrified. Terrified is probably the best one there because it's an excited state with a negative connotation, whereas usually you say excited and you mean a good connotation. So yeah, I don't know, a little bit of both. But actually, compared to where we were a month ago, I am actually somewhat more positively excited than I was. What about you?
You know what? I gotta say it's been a nice little... I'm trying to think. Honestly, it's been more refreshing than anything else. And I do definitely feel a sense of calm, and I don't feel as perilous as I did before. I definitely feel urgency still, but I don't feel urgency for the sake of like survival. I feel urgency for the sake of like, I just want the world to be a better place.
Yeah. Just a little less existential crisis, a little more aspirational crisis, I guess. So we're beating around the bush here. What we are saying and what we're going to talk a little bit about in addition to the DNC and the RNC conventions and all the other nonsense, our commander-in-chief, our current president, Mr. Joseph Biden, did decide, although some people would say it was decided for him, to not seek re-election. He is pulling a James K. Polk and will not seek a second term to butcher the They Might Be Giants lines from James K. Polk about a president who did not seek a second term. So, yes, he is taking one for the team, not pursuing a second term, and he is deferring instead to his vice president, the amazingly suited Miss Kamala Harris. And I almost said her name wrong. Did I say her name wrong? Because I always do this.
No, I think Kamala. Kamala. I think you said
I have to remind, like, I have to, like, go back to my Biden, like, Biden saying it. And he just kind of rolls off his tongue so effortlessly. It's Kamala. Because I know people still like to say Kamala to really, like, accentuate the whatever part of her name that's less less standard, you know, boring vanilla beige America, whatever. But I do want to talk about Kamala's background because it became quite a festival of conversation from a certain Donald Trump in a spectacularly awkward and horrifying interview with some black journalists that I'm sure BJ you saw.
God.
I think we talked about it on the main show a little bit.
What's been funny to me is that while Biden clearly was kind of pushed into stepping down, it's the reaction is 100% similar, at least from the Republican side, as Nancy Pelosi. Like, they literally were like, Nancy Pelosi is going to be in the minority, blah, blah, blah. Like, they literally tailor-made before Republicans kind of took back the House very, very thinly. There was this whole thing with, like, trash-talking Nancy Pelosi. Her husband was fucking attacked. Like, there was this whole thing, like they literally were running, like, little ads against Nancy Pelosi. And then she was just like, no, I'm stepping down. And, like, the confusion and, like the carpet being pulled out from under a lot of, like, the conservatives was really hilarious. Because one even went on Fox News and was like, she gave up her power. And I'm like, that should tell you exactly the problem with modern day politics is this whole idea of cultivating power. But, like, at the end of the day, she was probably like, my husband almost died, and she's still influencing politics. Let's be clear. She's still, like,
well,
around.
It's funny you say that because she is largely credited with being the agent of Biden stepping down. Like,
exactly.
She kind of has become, I mean, whether it's earned or, you know, partially earned, because I'm sure it was a group effort. She behind the scenes was working the lines, talking to people, trying to do what is basically the art of politics, conversations, lobbying, trying to influence policy any way you can, and doing it among Democrats very legally, but also behind the scenes, because you don't want to do this sort of fist fight, knifing festival et tu brute sort of deal in public, because it just makes everything look horrible. So, yeah, I mean, it is interesting that she's the agent of change. But to that point, so Biden did step down. And I will say, I was a little – I was one of those people who was like, listen, I get why you want Biden to step down. But I also really think that at the time – this is like a month or two ago – I just kept thinking what we are doing in even semi-public is really bad for everything. And of course, his debate performance was horrible. Let's be honest. I mean, that really probably was the nail in the coffin. But I'm like, you know, why are we calling for him to resign? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that in public? And meanwhile, behind the scenes, Nancy's, you know, working with Chuck Schumer and all the Obamas and the Clintons and whoever else was involved and just trying to go, listen, this isn't going well. This is, there's too much at stake. Like we gotta get out of the way and do something else because it's not working. And no offense to Biden. I mean, obviously, if you did watch the DNC at all and you saw his speech, like, I mean, he really agonized over this decision up until the last second. I mean, it's by all accounts.
Yeah. It was, no doubt about it at all.
He was not, because, I mean, the guy has been told all his life, you can't. He had a, I was reading a thing about him, listening to a podcast or both. Basically, you know, early on, they were told him, like, you can't, you have a stutter. You can't speak the way, you know, you need to because of this disability you have. And he rose above that. And then, you know, they told him, oh, you're too young to be in the Senate or too young to do politics. And he rose above that. And then now there are people are telling him, you're too old to be president. So, I mean, all his life, he's just been this scrapping, like, I'm going to prove you wrong. And you tell me I can't do it. It's just going to make me even more committed to doing it. And normally that's a virtue. But when you have this existential political threat to democracy and other things that Trump represents, I mean, you know, you got to do it. So, I mean, okay, so he steps aside. He basically kind of, everybody gets in line with Kamala, which was great. What did you think of that BET interview with Trump? Like Kamala definitely has a multiracial background that has a lot of different, you know, factors in it. I don't know, and I don't want to misspeak on her background, but she has, you know, some historical roots in India. She has obviously black parental roots, you know, so she is a black woman. But like the fact that Trump gets on this interview and tries to be like, wait, she's black now? I mean, she was, I didn't know she was black. It's like, what? First of all, read the room, right? Like, those interviewers must have just been like...
He doesn't, though. Like, that's the thing. That's the thing is the media also has been kind of a shit show with, like, I don't know who pissed them off in the Democratic Party, but, like, the thing is, Trump is just always unhinged, and it's like the media is just tired of him being unhinged, so they latch on to every other little thing. So the thing with the Trump interview on BET, one, we all knew that was going to be an absolute fucking shit show. Two, Trump was also in the midst of trying to figure out a way to really get her. Like, he, you know, he was really hammering home the thing that Biden is not mentally fit, but then he had the rug pulled out from under him with somebody who is more eloquent than him, who can, you know, hold a conversation and not immediately fall into some sort of, like, who doesn't fall on the table and gets the boar worms put on him. So it's one of those things where he can spit in the media's face and they will still bring him back for an interview and all this. So one, BET knew what they were signing up for. So there's no doubt in my mind. Two, he is trying a tactic that I have witnessed and I have gone through my entire life. And that is, the best you can do with somebody who is of mixed race is to discredit their blackness. Kids used to bully the shit out of me for that. I didn't listen to enough black artists. I didn't listen to the right black artists. So this whole idea of him saying that she's not really black or she changed her race all of a sudden, that is 100% out of the playbook of how do you get black conservatives to, like, not listen to a word she has to say. You attack her blackness. It's honestly Donald Glover, Childish Gambino. I've literally watched reaction videos where he's a rap artist. He does rock music too. He does all sorts of genres of music, but he started out as a rap artist. And my personal favorite thing is I had a black reviewer sit on YouTube with his whole chest being like, I didn't think he was black. And I'm like, it's one of those things because he's a big nerd. He plays video games. Like, he doesn't talk like most black people, you know, that you would understand. So it's one of those things where it's the exact same playbook I lived through in fucking, like, elementary school, junior high, and high school, where where he knows people are excited about her. She's younger. Everybody, and that was honestly, that's the only thing I feel bad about Bynum is it's this shitstorm of we're sick of weird old people telling us what we need to do with our lives, and that's just it. I'm sick of it. I'm old now. I'm like the next 50-year-old that crawls out of the shadows and up the crack of my ass is getting a boot to the face. I am over it. So just having somebody on the ticket younger automatically energizes. And honestly, it could have been the Republicans. If the Republicans hadn't been so obsessed with Trump and they had picked somebody younger, they would, and Biden hadn't dropped out, they would have won. So
if they picked, I mean, you're right, anybody almost, but like Nikki Haley is the one that comes up a lot for numerous reasons. But like, you know, they would have dominated this race. It would have been over effectively. I mean, it may have forced the Biden thing earlier because then it was like, well, we can't, you know, this isn't going to work. Yeah. But it's interesting that you're saying this about like the whole, you know, they're not black enough and, it's funny. Buddy. So you really have heard. Well, I mean, politically, I guess what I'm thinking is like, if you're a black conservative and you're out there, are you really like so tuned into that you're like, oh, well, she's not really black because she like that, wow.
I'm being nice. I'm not even saying it's conservatives. When I tell you, like, I had growing up, like, I hear it from my own family sometimes, and it's nuts to me. Like, I'm listening to a music artist, and they're just like, why don't you listen to a black music artist? I'm like, this is a black music artist. And they're like, And it's just one of those things where it's actually, here's the perfect, what I think the playbook is happening that's right now is they're trying on for size. When you had a lot of immigrants coming into New York City, like back in, I want to say the 1920s, maybe 1930s, and how like the country was fairly anti-ginger. And it was like, it was super racist. It was super bad. And then all of a sudden that disappeared because they were brought into the fold. What's happening is Trump and everybody is trying to run this idea that if you are a black voter and you're voting for her because she's black, she's not really black, or she's not black enough, or she's not, which I don't think is going to work because, I mean, I've seen her rallies, see how she interacts with people, how she talks. And the next step is to go after the fact that she has a white husband. So like that's,
yeah.
And it's a playbook that's completely ingrained on race, and it's something that thankfully it's something that works less, but it definitely can work on the older black community. The only reason it hasn't worked on my family in general is because we look like Kamala Harris, like we all look like her, so it's one of those things that it's. Like another good example is like one of the things is a lot of black people used to not cosplay because the first thing you would hear is that character's not black and be like, I don't fucking care, bitch.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's in that same spectrum. And I love Kamala Harris for when her most recent interview where they were like, what do you say to him not saying you're black? And her being like, it's the same tired playbook. Next question, and then the next headline you see is Kamala Harris dodges the question about being black, and I'm like,
yeah. I do agree the media's coverage of everything has really become weird. Like, I thought we learned 4 years ago that like you can't just give Trump all the oxygen and you can't do that, but like the debates are a good example. Like, why didn't they fact check either of the candidates in real time? Like, that was something that we did last election cycle, and I thought actually was really like good journalism. And for some reason this time, probably because that was a negotiated thing just to get them to debate, they didn't fact check. And so you got both people, but like really honestly Trump running off telling just nonsense and things. So I'm hopeful in the next debate, the rules of engagement that they've agreed to. I think one thing I did hear is they're not going to cut the mics off, and that's good. Here's why. you want Trump to come across as the dick that he is for most of independents. Like, so obviously the far left, or not even far left, most voters know what they're going to, who they're going to vote for.
Yeah.
At this point, but the sort of wishy-washy independent, let's say, whatever, the people who are just less politically informed, or just haven't bothered, whatever, they're the ones who, you know, you want them to see Trump being a complete asshole to this otherwise strong woman. It worked really well, at least in terms of debate performance for Hillary, even if it didn't translate, unfortunately, to the electoral win that she needed. So I'm glad they're not cutting the mics off, because I do want Trump to be an asshole, because I think
he won't be able to help himself. He won't be able to help himself at all. And that was the other thing, is during the last debate, the problem, the main thing with the last debate that just kind of sent me reeling is the fact that like Biden, it'll be interesting to see how it, to see if Kamala can be baited, because Biden was baited, and he was baited on the dumbest things possible, which was like golf scores. And I'm like, I'm sorry, if you're somebody who's not part of the 1% and doesn't give and doesn't give a fuck about golf, I don't give a shit. I'm like, shut the fuck up and talk about something actually worthwhile, because your golf score has no handling on how you're going to do anything professionally. Golf is rich person's, like, rich person's speed dating. I hate it. I hate, and I'm just like, oh, I was funny, because that's when I clipped to the debate. I was like, maybe I should watch this, and I clipped to it, and they're arguing about golf scores, and I was like, and we're done, and I just turned it off. No, and I'm like, I'll check TikTok for the highlights tomorrow.
I was literally on a plane when that happened, and I tuned in briefly to like their live TV, and I was nope, I'm out. And then the thing. But anyway, so let's go back to, I apologize. I did do the Kamala. I'm bad. I keep going back and forth. But Kamala, her vice president pick was also a big question point of lots of debate and lots of discussion. And I had never heard of this guy, Walls.
I never heard of him in my life.
And I mean, like, okay, so what did you know about him? Like, what all did you know?
So I knew, so the thing is, he had done some appearances. So this is kind of what I like about when you have independent journalists that are like on social media and TikTok. A TikToker, I cannot remember their name, but they're big on trans Activision and everything. And I will try to actually, I know I've posted them on the Facebook group a couple times. But they are really great at keeping an eye on actual LGBTQ news and everything. And they had mentioned him because he's the one that when a lot of anti-trans legislature was coming up, he was like still in sweatpants and like a t-shirt from like, and didn't even wait to hear from any of his advisors or anything. He just showed up on a stage, called a press conference, and was like, we will defend our trans children, because that's what we do here in this country. And I was like, oh, I love him. And then I had looked up some stuff. I knew he had been a teacher, and I knew he'd been something else. Yes,
that's huge.
Yeah, I knew he'd been a teacher, and I knew he had been a coach, and I knew he had been in charge of the school's gay alliance, gay student teacher alliance for the school that he worked at. So I was like, oh, this guy's great. And then this was like a year ago. This was a while ago that he had popped up just on my radar. And then when they were talking about possible VP picks, somebody had said Pete Buttigieg, and somebody had mentioned somebody else. And then one of the under the desk news, this is another one of the things under the desk news.
They're great.
They had mentioned, they were like, I really hope it's Tim Walz. And I was like, oh my God, yes, absolutely. I mean, I felt like he was not only the safest pick, but he's also like, I think the best pick.
It's funny you say he's the safest, because like I was hearing this guy, Josh Shapiro, who's the governor of Pennsylvania, was probably the safest pick because it's a battleground state. He's very popular. He's Jewish. There were just a lot of boxes that were ticked. So
the issue with that is, they don't have, he does not have, what is he, governor, or is he a Senate?
He's a governor.
The thing is, there, he, I don't think he has a lieutenant governor. So if he did enter the race, he would have to, he couldn't be governor anymore, and they would have to run a special election. I believe either a special election or I think his opponent. I can't remember how it works in. He's in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember how it works in Pennsylvania because some of the states do weird stuff, but I think his opponent would have taken his governorship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, there were multiple factors. I mean, I think that's probably part of the calculus, but like,
yeah, I think from my understanding, that was part of the calculus.
Kamala like interviewed and like went and sat down with each of these people and was like, listen, I got to know if this is going to work. I mean, it's like you said, speed dating sort of sense.
And in her case, it was speed dating for sure.
I think given that her relationship with Biden was never like super tight, like Biden and Obama was, I feel like maybe to her, that's even more important because she's like, no, I need someone who I can trust, who's going to work well with me and da, 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 da. So, I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I'm sure there was other political calculus, you know, this and that. But what I will say is from all my, I listen to a lot of political podcasts. It's kind of a bad habit of mine. I listen to like 538 and Election Profit Makers, which that's a whole other thing. NPR's politics. I mean, yeah, you know, Preet Bharara, you know, all of, a lot of stuff. Anyway, point is, the analysis for Walz was basically he is not only progressive, but enough, but he also looks the part of like, you know, you kind of rattled off his teacher, coach, all that. He talks to the middle America people who might otherwise be a little like, oh, I don't know about this Kamala, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's a little too West Coast for me or a little too whatever. And so, yeah, I mean, Walz definitely checks a lot of boxes in that. And it's great. Again, ally for days. And the fact he was a teacher. I mean, my mom was a teacher. Several people in my life who have been close to me have been teachers. I was a teacher for a while at a university. I mean, like, teaching is a very big, important part of my life. So, you know, you tell me you're a teacher and you've done it for like, you did it for like 20 years, like Elizabeth Warren, like, you instantly get a lot of respect from me for doing that.
Yeah.
So great choice. I think we're all on board with Walz. The DNC. So let's talk about RNC and then we'll go to the DNC. I think RNC is going to be a little light because really, quite honestly, I'm not going to watch. I didn't watch much. Like, so, I'm not going to. I did watch the highlights and you mentioned one very specific one I want to talk about. But like overall,
I'll mention my one. My one highlight is the fact that the rapper and model Amber Rose
opened the DNC.
And like, here's my thing. She's bald. She's covered in tattoos. And the best part about it was the fact that everybody there, like every time they showed some Midwestern woman, there was a grimace on her face. And just like, I'm thinking as a conservative in like the most extreme ways where like women should have long hair. They should not wear pants. Like and she's literally none of those things. And I'm just like, who signed off on this? Because it was such a weird decision. And
I don't even know who she is though. So back up a second because I'm not the most in touch. You know, I try to keep up, but like, who is she? What is her deal? You there?
Sorry.
Tell me who. Tell me who this person is because that was not clear. And like, I was like, who is this person? I mean, she's been on Drag Race, evidently.
Yeah, she's been on Drag Race. Let me see. Just a couple of. She did a single. She did a 2008 single called "Put On," with Kanye West, which already should set off alarms. She was a model for Louis Vuitton.
Okay, so she's a model.
She's a model. She's been in a ton of music videos. She published a book in 2015 called "How to Be a Bad Bitch."
She's a general LGBT. If she's not queer herself in some part, like she's a great ally. It sounds like
the Amber Rose show was a show she had on VH1. She began hosting Loveline, which I didn't realize was still a
really
thing. Yeah.
Oh wow.
She was a stripper. At the age of 15.
I thought there was a sex work past of some kind too.
Yeah, so she's been on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay. So who do we think she is going to be a good voice for us, for the conservative movement to like market ourselves to, I guess, queer black. I mean, like, I'm just trying to figure out why does this make sense?
You gotta go back to it's the same. I call it the Sony executives, a room full of 60 something year old white men were like, how do we get them? How do we get the people we want? And somebody was like, well, we would need a rapper to get like all of the hippity hop kids, but they're like, but not a black one. We can't get a black one if we get like, because they can't get somebody like Kanye because he's insane. He'll say some off the wall shit, and then it's a whole nother issue, because you can have a problematic, well, clearly problematic white people in the media are fine. Problematic black people in the media, absolutely not. So Yeezy's
definitely problematic, so we can't have him there.
Exactly. So then what else do we, who do we get? And it's one of those things where clearly
so wild.
They thought they were going to either trick, because there are queer conservatives out there. So they thought they would probably trick the queer conservatives with somebody that was on RuPaul's Drag Race. They probably paid her more money than she's seen in her life. So I'm not faulting her for this at all, because looking at her career,
get that coin.
So I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, but like I said, if you see a picture of her with hair, she looks like she's from Texas. Like she looks.
Interesting.
And they probably, and here's the thing. They probably saw a picture of her when she had long hair. And 100% yeah, right? were like, ooh, she looks like this girl I had an affair with. So like. Absolutely.
So, I'm glad you mentioned her, because I honestly had already forgotten about that, but that was definitely a big moment. The other one, and this is the one I thought you were going to go with, was the bulldog, because of course, if you know nothing else about Flame On, you know that we love bulldogs. We have bulldogs. We love bulldogs. We wear bulldog harnesses. So Baby Dog, which is her name, is the bulldog of Governor Jim. Jim Justice. Yeah, he sounds like a superhero name.
Oh, right? I mean, the guy that looks—he kind of looks like Beetlejuice.
He looks like the guy from what was that show in the 80s with the Dukes of Hazzard? He looks like Boss Hogg.
Oh my God, he does to look me, like Boss but Hogg.
Bigger guy, kind of whatever. But yeah, dude does his speech with his dog, his bulldog, Baby Dog, sitting in a chair. On stage with him. Now, first of all, I don't care what else this man says. I already like him. Doesn't mean I'm going to agree with him. Doesn't mean I'm going to like really give anything he says any credence. But I do admit to having a soft spot for a governor or some random person who brings their bulldog up on stage.
And that's the trap. That's exactly why he did it. And it's I always tell people, you get a cute, if an alien race ever comes down here and they like want to eat us and they look like cute dogs, we're dead. Like that's just the thing is, that was
all 100%. They got to do is watch our memes, watch our TikToks, watch our Instagram reels, our whatever. And they'd realize that. That's actually a good story idea. We got to save that for later. So the rest of the RNC is exactly what you expect. It's just boring bullshit. And the Trump speech was unhinged and went way too long. And oh my God, it was all over the fucking map.
They actually did
as you'd expect.
They actually did an interview with like just some random guy that went to it. And he said he was actually a little over the like babbling. He actually, good. The dude was decked out in like Trump gear. And they, I will say the media has been kind of touched on it very lightly, but they need to touch on it some more, is this whole disillusionment thing that's slowly kind of like they're clearly still going to vote for Trump. They're still clearly going to vote for him. But at the same time, they're kind of over it. Like they're just like, and the thing,
there's a lot of conservatives that I know who are not voting for Trump because they think Trump is like a good guy or a great leader. Like a lot of conservatives, I actually have a fair number of conservative friends and family members, and they're all pretty much voting for him because they know that his policies are aligned with theirs. But they're not going to spend any time defending him in any meaningful way to me. And they know that, both because I obviously don't think that that's going to do anything to change my mind, but also, you know, they're trying to probably just to walk back the idea that I might have about them, which is kind of funny. But it's fair. And it's like, okay, fine. Like, you know, I can't tell you in modern history, unless maybe some people didn't like Clinton because he thought he was a little sleazy after the Monica Lewinsky thing. Maybe that's the closest you got. But if that's the closest you got, come on, give me a break. Because a lot of shit that he did was actually very responsible and, you know, whatever. But like, it's just funny to hear them kind of talk about Trump. But again, the Trump fatigue is real. And I think the best thing that the Democrats did in this moment by making it not about Trump versus Biden, by flipping the script on him mid campaign, which is obviously worked really well, to make it now this younger, although actually evidently Kamala's not Gen X. She is like 1 year too old to be Gen X. So she's in between Gen X and Boomer, which I was like, oh my God. So seriously,
she's like where
she's in her, like sort of that in between.
Yeah, the gens. I'm in between Gen X and Millennial. I literally remember when you had a voice message machine in your house.
Oh,
and right. But it used a little cassette versus having like a digital memory. Like I remember when voicemail when that was like the new biggest thing and that came out.
Do you remember when you could get funny messages like recorded for your voicemail? Like that was a whole thing. There is an NPR show to this day that advertises like if you win, you can have, in this case, it's Bill Curtis, but like the announcer.
Yeah.
Wait, tell me, does this still? And it's from that era of like, oh, they would call your house and you could like hit the code and it would record your voice, whatever voicemail, answering message. I mean, that is, So sorry. So yeah, old people, you know what we're talking about. The young people, you're like, what the fuck is voicemail? I don't even know what that is on my phone, much less
That's my coworker.
But yeah, right? But she's a little older than I thought, which whatever, doesn't matter. But she is definitely significantly younger than Biden and Trump, for sure.
Because I think her daughter's like, the thing is she's, her daughters are young enough that she has like, she's posted them. She has like TikTok videos and stuff of like cooking with her family. There's a really cute video where she's showing her daughters how to cook something. And her daughter's like, why are you showing me this? She's like, so you can cook this for me when I'm old. She has kids that are young enough that they are definitely millennial and they're definitely like children of the internet, so she understands like social media better. She probably took a class on like making sure your kids are safe on the internet. She's probably part of those parents, so it's one of those things where that's actually going to come in real handy, I think, just for personal experience. Whereas Donald Trump has people do that shit for him.
Oh no, yeah, and he knows how to tweet, we know that. So yeah. She is 59. And how old would you guess Walls is? Tim Walls? Just thinking about them side by side, how old would you say he is as a comparison to her?
All right.
At least how many years more? Don't look it up.
This is not a burn on teachers, but because he was a teacher, I actually think he's 7.
Wait, what'd you say?
7. I think he's 57.
Oh, he think he's younger? He is older.
Okay.
He is a whopping 1 year older. He is 60.
Wow.
He got rode hard and put away wet by those kids. Oh my God.
Actually,
because she looks great.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the thing, is you can tell which one was a teacher but here's the thing. I honestly think he looks his age, as opposed to some people who have been teachers for like 5 years and they look like they're 20 years older than they really are.
Oh, fair. Totally fair. No. He's doing fine at 60. The thing that kills me is when I think about that, I am 13 years younger than that man. Oof. That thought always just gives my whole body like shivers. But so I'll go back to the RNC. We kind of beat that horse. DNC, much better overall as a convention. Far more energy, positivity. I think like just optimism. And what's amazing is they had that whole thing programmed 3 weeks or more prior, and then they had to change everything to accommodate, because it was all going to be about Biden.
And
so the fact that it was so engaging, so positive, so energetic, and I mean, the speaker lineup probably wouldn't have changed too much, you know, really. Maybe they moved some people around or whatever, but you'd still have a lot of the same things. The musical freaking roll call vote, which, having done roll call votes in my fraternity and other like sort of like political environments, roll call votes are boring as fuck. They are very interesting and strategic in some ways, because you kind of force people to have to go on the record very publicly and say, I do or do not support something. But in this case, they're perfunctory. Having like the freaking music that's like famous from that state, like, all I know is when freaking Washington State, they have Macklemore going on. I'm just like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. It was a party.
It was entertaining. It was a party. Exactly. And, you know, conventions in general, like, I mean, we're talking about conventions, like all conventions are parties in different ways, right? Whether they're overtly a party or they're behind the scenes a party, like Dragon Con's going on right now. That is overtly a party. There is so much shenanigans and party stuff happening or just finishing happening. But like, you know, political ones, they don't always look like a party. I bet you anything, the RNC thing, which we did allude to this, I think, on the main show as well, having Growler Grinder crash because there's so many freaking dumb gay conservatives out there trying to get some. They're going to have their party behind the scenes. Like, they just don't show the party as much. But the DNC was like, no, fuck that. We're going to show that this is an energetic, fun, young, but also just energized a group of Democrats. Like, I just it sounded like just such a fun experience overall.
It was very positive. The only things that I questioned about it was when they didn't allow, I know there's the senator who's Palestinian, they didn't really allow her to get up on, they didn't invite her up on stage to talk, and I kind of get it. It just feels that is probably the most political move of that whole weekend, is not having her get up. Because they did have protests.
Right, protesting Gaza as you'd expect, and honestly, that's I'm glad, because you know that should not be swept under the rug by any means. But like, is it Islahar Ohan? I can never say her name right, but from I think Minnesota, like, she is definitely a firebrand. And like, I was reading about this convention, and Cortez, you know, AOC got to speak this time for like a full speech. Last time they relegated her to like 90 minutes or 90 seconds, sorry, just to introduce somebody. So I think some of the firebrand younger politicians in general may not get a lot of screen time unless they really played their cards right. And I get this sense from the one you're talking about, I'm gonna look up her name, she may just be a little more firebrand and not
I didn't like it, but I understood it, and I get it. And it's one of those things where especially when it comes to another country that I believe is a part of NATO supporting another country, but then also being like, we will stop supporting you. And I don't know what kind of military and NATO violations that is going to kick off. So I get the treading lightly, but I also get like, you know, enough is enough. Like, stop killing people for the love of God. Like,
Of course.
So it's one of those things. So I don't think
Ilhan Omar is her name. Ilhan Omar. And she is from Minnesota.
Okay.
But no, clearly one of the strengths about the Democratic Party is the diversity. It's funny, because like, we used to say the GOP was a grand old party, but it was like the big tent for all these different disparate types of people way, way back under Reagan. And really now the Democrats are that. Like, they're the ones who are bringing a coalition of just so many different swaths of America and Americans and different backgrounds, religions, everything. So like, you should want to highlight that in any way you can. And that is also having an Islamic, you know, American congressman, because of course, like, that's, and there are others that she's not the only one, but I think she's the only one that dresses in the hijab, or at least the headscarf part. So, I mean, like,
you know, yeah, I think she does.
Visible. She's very visible. So, the Obama speeches, both Barack and, Oh my God. Why can't I think of her name?
Oh, Michelle.
Getting old. Did I mention 13 years away from 60? Yeah. Michelle and Barack's speeches were so fire. I mean, legit, probably my favorite moments of the whole damn show. Both because they were snarky and funny, and they're just both so entertaining. Like, they're just both such good speakers. My favorite, if I have to pick one, is Barack's, only because he makes fun of Trump's crowd size obsession, and he does the hand thing, which, like, kind of like he's measuring something else that only a male identifying or male presenting person would have. Like, I just, yeah, it was special and loved. I love that. What was your favorite? Did you catch any of their speeches?
Oh yeah, Michelle, absolutely. The whole when they go low, we go high thing, where she's just like, yeah, no, not anymore. Like, out of the two of them, hers was honestly, if you did not like them, if you were somebody that is very vehemently anti, like, liberal or anti Democrat, it's, I almost feel like hers would come off as like a veiled threat. like after her speech was done, if somebody walked up to her and was just like, was that a threat? She would just go, no, that was a promise. Like, she's like, and that's the thing I love about the Obamas, is the Obamas are like, I'm done. Like, we don't have to do anything. Like, we don't have to, like, we don't have to go high. We're retired, effectively. Like, we've sold our books. We've sold our podcast. We've, like, we've done all the things we said we were going to do. And we're watching our daughters live their best lives. Like, the older they get, the more they're going to be like, yeah, no, screw that guy. He's really fucking weird. Like, and that's what I appreciated about, like, that's the thing, is when you have old presidents come on, especially back in the day, where you have old presidents, they're very scripted, and they're very like, oh, this speech writer wrote this for me to be very safe and blah, 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 blah. With the Obamas, one, they've been writing their own shit for a while, and they're very no-nonsense. They're getting more and more no-nonsense when they speak in public. And I appreciate that about them in such a way that makes me so happy. Like, I'll always look up on his presidency, not like as like things he could have done things better, but in all honesty, he did a great job. And I hope this idea that you can, like, you know, leave this whole idea of being like a politician and still kind of affect politics, but you don't have to be in the news all the time. You don't have to be telling people what to do. You don't have to fight all the time with, like, your opponents. You can just, like, retire and live your life and be with, like, your family and, you know, write a book. Be on, like, you can make money, do a podcast. Like, there's other ways to be influential without actually taking up that spot for somebody who's younger and for another generation. So,
oh yeah,
he's probably one of the very few politicians that I look back on and I appreciate the fact that, like, he didn't try to, like, he's never seemed addicted to power. He seemed more addicted kind of like helping.
He's very Jimmy Carter in the way that his post-presidential career, in different ways than Carter. Carter's was much more like community focused, going out and just helping out where he can, very hands-on, very whatever. Obama's doing the strategic funding things, raising money, which a lot of presidents are going to do that. But, like, Obama's, like, making television deals and kind of getting involved in other areas that he sees as influential and finding ways to help in a different way. I mean, he's a community organizer. Like, dude built, like, help build communities and structure and sort of, you know, advocate for people at the ground level all his life prior, you know, after he got out of school or, you know, all that. So, I mean, he's, of course, he's going to do what he's going to do to try to build in a different way. So I love that. What else, any other DNC moments that caught your eye, anything that stood out? I mean, the acceptance speech was great. I will say, I don't know if you were going to, poor freaking Tim Walz's kid. and the dumb bullshit that some of those and I didn't even say Republicans, some of those idiot conservatives like threw shade at him
for
like crying at being so just happy tears about his dad getting this moment. Like,
because men are supposed to cry. Why would a man cry? That's terrible.
Well, it's that, and like they're trying to. Was it Ann Coulter? No, it wasn't Coulter. It was or Ingram. I don't remember. One of those. They're very similar to me in my brain. They like kind of swap spaces sometimes. Like the fact that like they called him weird for crying. It's like. Read the room. Like, do you understand that, like, that is absolutely a genuine, amazing, happy reaction? Like that's not weird. Weird would be if he stood there stone-faced or haughtily, whatever, like freaking some of the Trump kids. Like, that's a little more weird and not human in its own way or whatever. Like this kid freaking just, like, losing it, like, good for him. I mean, so I'm glad the internet largely excoriated whoever the I think it was Laura Ingraham. I think like just read her to filth for that comment and like again, took care of it.
Again, it's a old playbook. They dust it off because children aren't supposed to embarrass their children and are supposed to embarrass their parents. And children crying is inherently embarrassing to a conservative. Your children can't show emotion. They have to be reserved. They have to be quiet. They have to stand still. And that's the thing is his son's on the spectrum too. So like that's the other thing is like he doesn't, I can't remember the specific range they had him on, but he has trouble with emotional intensity. But the thing is, the emotional intensity he was feeling was pride and happiness. So it was just a really happy cry. And again, it's that same old boring nonsense of we have to find something to bust him on. Because the last thing they want to do is make fun of him for being a teacher. The last thing they can do is make fun of him for being a coach, because, you know, you got to like the sports ball. So you make fun of him for being a coach, you make fun of being a teacher, you're going to lose those votes for sure. You know, they tried, Vance tried to make fun of him for tried to talk shit about his time in service. That didn't turn out so hot. So it's one of those things where what's the next, you can't go after his skin color, so you have to go after his child. And yeah, I don't
know exactly.
I don't think that worked out too good for them. So now they're not going to make fun of the kid. So the next spot is his wife, but that's also a non-starter because that's his high school sweetheart.
They tried that too. There was something where he gave her a handshake or like grasped her hand or something. And people are questioning that. Like this is the, do you remember the controversy when Obama wore a tan suit? To something like when he was president, he shows up to a news conference. He's in a tan suit.
Do you remember the controversy where he fist bumped his wife?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then that stuff like that is such a
terrorist. Such empty, fist
bump. Right. There's such empty, like distracting kind of like moments that I don't know anyone who like seriously thinks about those as like important. And so it's like, why would anybody in the media, especially like Fox, but in Fox kind of, okay, sure, we get why you're going to do that. But it's like, who actually gives a fuck about those kind of things and not like actual policy or character? Like I can see goes to character about dude never even acknowledges his wife. Oh, wait, like Donald Trump has completely, you know, fucked over multiple wives in the past. Oh, wait, Donald Trump. Like that, sure, that goes to character, but like awkward little moments like that, which we all have in our lives and relationships, like, give me a break. Like, come on. Yeah. Like, that's, anyway, it's stupid. So, yeah, DNC aside, what do you, it's going to be a wild roller coaster the next 2 months, basically, until Election Day. And we should take this opportunity, by the way, to say, if you are not registered to vote, you need to get on that shit now because time is running out if it has not already run out. And there's so much election shenanigans as far as like states reining in by mail, and you need to have IDs and all this nonsense.
Also, check your registration, because I know Florida is having issues with people, their registration. They're no longer registered to vote. Like, go in there and check your registration. I'm having to do a mail-in ballot because I don't know if I'm going to be deployed to work. So that's recently started. I want to say about two weeks ago, at least for the state of Georgia. So yeah, absolutely. Check your voter registration. Check where your voter location is. Check for early voting, because I plan, actually, honestly, if I can early vote, I'm gonna early vote. I do it
if
every
you
time.
Have the ability to vote in person, like you said, early voting. You this year of all years, you should do it, because there is zero chance that they're going to pull some shenanigans with your vote, because you will be there. They will tell you you are good to go. You will be able to adjust anything, have any problems, figure it out. Like, go vote more than anything. Some states, like Washington State, thank God we have like a reasonable Secretary of State, whatever. Like, you know, we can vote by mail and it's pretty solid. And so there's some other states like that. But in general, vote in person, and if you can early vote, for sure. So the next 2 months, like the debate's coming up fast. I'm sure there'll be an October or September surprise. There's always some dumb twist at the end, unfortunately. I mean, as of right now, things are looking pretty okay for Miss Kamala. Like, just things are, they're not, it's not a done deal. No, no one should think this election is done, because it is very much either candidates.
All the polls are currently still within the margin of error, although I do know one poll just came out that she's 6 points up.
And that's great, but it doesn't matter, because the swing states are what matter. And this is what's so frustrating about our system, electoral college based system. Our votes, she could get like hundreds of thousands. Routinely, Democrats do way better than Republicans in the overall populace vote. Mm-hmm. But if those fucking swing states, so if you were listening to us in Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, I think those are the big ones, Nevada, go do what you can. I'm hoping, and I don't know if it's going to matter as much for me, but I'm hoping to do some kind of call in, get out the vote effort. I've done this for past presidential elections, usually in person, but like, call up the local DNC campaign and ask them how you can help, because it's just so important. This is like life or death to so many communities, so many people, like the planet, like Jesus, like this is the time. And there is a good chance now. I mean, with Biden, it was not a great chance, but now we actually have a decent chance to send Trump home, like just to cut him off, and then let the fucking courts have their way with him. That's the other thing. It's like, if he actually wins and the courts don't get their say, like, how fucked up is that? Like, you can have this potential criminal, and you know, ugh.
Yeah, that's it. And that's, I'm gross. Interested in seeing if he loses the blood in the water, like, because that's the thing, is if he loses twice, even with all of his staunch reporter like supporters and everything, and the people who are obsessed with him, there's no way the RNC is not going to see him as just a complete done deal, especially if a lot of the local courts, they already view him that way after they didn't have this quote unquote red wave they were obsessing over. So if all the, especially because I think for the first time in decades, Florida has Democrats running for every major office. Every office in Florida,
and it's got an abortion initiative on the ballot. So, like, Florida and a couple other states, man, vote for, at the very fucking least, get your abortion rights like codified in your constitution, because you have an opportunity to do that. And legal weed too. I know Florida's got that on the ballot as well. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, these are issues that, you know, whether or not you're engaged politically and care about the president, you can't say that these don't potentially affect you if you're a woman or you're someone who wants to smoke and not have to deal with getting a weed card or something. Like, these are things you probably care about. And the president and the down ballot stuff is obviously still going to be a factor and is probably arguably more important. But like, those initiatives that are on those ballots, like, find out what your state's got and like read up on it. Don't just go, you know, to the poll and be like, Oh crap, I didn't know about all this other stuff. Like, I love the voter guides that certain publications put out. You know, you're not going to know everybody. You're not going to get to really decide one way or the other on like school board, you know, voter who's running for that stuff. But like, do your best. Vote for people who you actually feel good about. Don't just Christmas tree that nonsense or leave it blank.
Yeah.
Down ballot, honestly, a lot of times, I mean, Republican or the president and all that's very important. But like the down ballot stuff is actually day to day, probably more important to a lot of communities. Who are your state and local leaders? And Florida stopped giving a fuck. And that's how things got real sideways, you know? So, I mean, don't let that happen to your state. Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious what the next 2 months looks like. I kind of want to go to sleep and wake up when it's over. I'll admit, may we live in interesting times. Not so much. Kind of tired of being interesting.
Dream of living in unprecedented times. I really do dream of no longer living in unprecedented times. I would really like just a year to be precedented.
A precedent. Give me a year of precedent, for fuck's sake.
I would just like temperatures to just stay stable for 1 year. They can go balls to the walls the next year. I would just like just I just would like a year of being like, huh, this is kind of boring. I'd love it.
In some ways, that's what the Biden administration was for a little bit, at least. People are kind of like, oh, good, politics isn't that interesting anymore. Yay. But at the same time, stuff was still happening and we're talking about. So, well, thank you all for listening. I know this isn't our normal topic, but obviously, as you can tell, some of us have opinions about the political world. And we hope you, if you didn't before, maybe you do now. But if at the very least, just read up, be informed, do your own research, as they like to say. But whatever, like, just vote, register, make sure you're good to go. And just keep supporting each other. And no matter what happens in November, the world's going to keep spinning, but it might be a little harder for some of us to hold on to the spin, so to speak, you know. So be ready to help each other and support each other and keep each other safe. I think that's the big takeaway there. And again, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. We'll do our normal pop culture roundup. Flameonshow.com is where you can find all of our great info. You can find all of us on all the socials that we don't really post to anymore because we're honestly all burned out and too busy with other life stuff. But it's still there, and we could still occasionally post. You follow my Instagram, you might see pictures of Japan more likely than anything else these days.
You'll probably see Newport Richie, Florida.
Oh, geez. Oh, girl. Newport Richie. We definitely would like to hear from you. So again, if you very least send us a line, drop us a comment, tell all your friends about our show. We really appreciate any amount of attention because the algorithms have completely starved us. Like nobody knows anything anymore unless the people push through the algorithm. So tell a friend, and thanks for listening. We'll see you guys very soon. Take care.
Bye.